The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter. Jesus is unwavering in his commitment to his mission in Jerusalem and will not be swayed by pettiness. In a series of striking cases in point, he calls his disciples to a similar single-mindedness. I begin reading at verse 51. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set towards Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated, and I ask the children come forward for the children's sermon. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's good to see all of y'all this morning. Today I've got something for y'all to do. All right? I want y'all to stand up. Okay, and you see those doors right there? I want you to touch those doors and then come back and sit down. All right, very good. Y'all did that very well. I'm pleased. But I got a question now. Who did you follow? Who'd you follow? Who? Okay, you followed him? All right, who'd you follow?
The leader.
The leader. Who was the leader? Can you point to the leader?
Me?
Okay, you were the leader. Okay. All right. So y'all all followed the leader? Okay, so who did the leader follow? Who? Did you follow yourself?
The last.
Huh?
The last.
The last? The leader followed the last? Okay, who'd you follow? Who'd the leader follow? Actually, you followed me. Right? Because I gave you instructions to follow. The instructions I gave you were to go over there to that door and touch it and come back and sit down. And you followed those instructions. In our Bible today, we have some different instructions. Some come from, they come from God, but St. Paul wrote them in a letter to the Galatians. And he says to love your neighbor. And those are instructions that we are to follow. But also, too, we have instructions that come from Jesus. And Jesus says, "Come follow me." And so we're called to follow Jesus. And even though I may have given you instructions to go do that, God gives me instructions, and he gives each and every one of us instructions to follow. So really, sometimes we are the leaders, but we're not the ultimate leader. God is the ultimate leader, the one who gives us instructions for how to live with one another and how to live on this earth. And so we are called to follow Jesus. All right, let us have a prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, who calls us to come follow him. Help us always to follow him in all things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, now go sit. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In our readings for today, we have a couple of missions, and they're fairly tough missions. The first one that I want to speak about just shortly is the one in the Old Testament, a mission for Elijah, and it was very difficult for him. God had sent him to go preach the word and to change Israel, turn Israel back around because they had been worshiping false gods. They had been worshiping the Baals. And Elijah was sent to turn things around and change things around for the people of Israel. But it didn't happen like that. What happened was is Elijah ended up making all the temple priests very angry at him, and all the temple prophets were ready to kill him. They were out to get his life, and so he had to run away. And he ran away to the mountain of God. And he was feeling very rejected. He felt like he had let God down, that this mission was just too tough. He could not handle it. But God comes and gives him words of encouragement and says, there are still people. There are still some of my chosen few who are still worthy. They still worship and recognize the Lord as their God. And so God gives Elijah instructions of who to anoint as king, but he also gives Elijah instructions for who is to be his successor, and that is Elisha. And so Elijah goes off to find Elisha, and he finds Elisha out in the field plowing with oxen. And Elijah calls Elisha to come and to follow along, to be his disciple, to be his student. And Elijah immediately is ready to go. But first he asks Elijah, can I go and say goodbye to my parents? And Elijah says, sure, go ahead. So Elijah takes those oxen that he was plowing with, and he takes the yoke and the other tools, plow probably as well then too, wooden plow, and he chops them up, he starts a fire, and he barbecues the oxen as a farewell feast. If that's not called burning your bridges, I don't know what is. I mean, he was ready to go. And that story kind of plays against what we see in the gospel lesson for today. Because again, there's some difficult missions here in the gospel lesson. First of all, is that mission of Jesus Christ. This is kind of a turning point for Jesus. He knows it's time for him to head to Jerusalem. He has his face set towards Jerusalem, and it's a single-mindedness now at this point. This is what the whole ministry that he has been doing, this is what all of it works up to be, is to hit that focus of that cross and resurrection. And nothing can turn him aside from that point. Because it is a very difficult one to know that you are going to suffer and that to know that you're going to die. It's not something that you go to lightly. And so Jesus has this narrow-minded focus of going to the cross and the resurrection. So he sends a few of his disciples ahead to make the way ready for him. And they go into a Samaritan village and they tell him that Jesus is coming through. Now the Samaritans and the Jews were kind of at odds with each other. Samaritans were actually Jews too, but they didn't recognize Jerusalem. They worshiped in a different place. And so the Jews were upset with them because they weren't pure. And the Samaritans were upset with the Jews because they thought they were just blowing steam. So they're at odds with each other. And so here's Jesus, this Jew, coming through. But Jesus is probably the biggest celebrity that has ever come through their town. And they're excited that Jesus would be there. But when they hear that Jesus is not staying, that he's not stopping, they become upset. they feel slighted, and so they reject Jesus. That's a tough lesson for us too. There's times in our lives when we feel like we're slighted, that somebody has done us wrong, whether on purpose or maybe just because of the situation, the circumstances that are going on. We feel slighted that somebody hasn't spent the time with us or hasn't given us the proper attention that we think that we deserve. And what do? We get angry. We may lash out at them, but we're not happy with them. We don't welcome them into our lives. If we feel that somebody's hurt us, we don't want to welcome them. But it's kind of sad because here, the Samaritan village, when they slighted Jesus, they missed out on what he had to offer. Because even if Jesus was just passing through, Jesus probably still would have spoke with them. He probably still would have healed their sick. He would have ministered to them. He would have touched the untouchables. But they missed out on all that because they were angry. And they weren't going to have anything at all to do with them. And that's the same for us too. When we feel that somebody else has slighted us and we become angry with them, we don't want anything to do with them. And so we too miss out. We miss out on what they have to offer. And the other people miss out on what we have to offer them as well then too. And we're not able to help one another simply because we are at odds with each other. Jesus goes on. And as they're traveling down the road, a young man comes up to them and says, "Jesus, I'll follow you wherever you go." Jesus doesn't tell him no. Actually, Jesus says, "Yes, you're welcome to come along, but it's not always easy. The wild animals have it better off than you will if you come follow me. Because you see, I'm going to Jerusalem, to the cross and the resurrection. And I don't know where I'll be staying. I don't know where I'll be sleeping. I'll have no home. I don't know what we'll be eating. It may be cold. We may be caught out in the rain. It is not a pleasant life if you say that you will come and follow me." Now, at first, the young man was very excited. It would be great to follow Jesus. I mean, here's Jesus, the one who can walk on water, the one who's fed thousands of people, the one who heals the sick and even raises the dead and says such wonderful things. Wouldn't it be great to stick around him? Maybe some of that will rub off on me. But then Jesus tells him these things that are tough. And it may not be so easy to follow Jesus. All these excitement maybe is not there so much anymore. And how about us? You know, of course, we say we're Christians. We know that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, that Jesus Christ brings eternal life to us. What? Why wouldn't we follow Jesus? But then it's so easy to get turned aside. Other things crop up, and we take a different path. Our things get tough. And we say, "Lord, that's too hard for me. I can't do that. Please don't ask me to do that. It's too hard." We get turned aside from actually following Jesus. It's easy for us to get excited and say, "Yes, I'm a Christian." But when it actually comes down to following in a meaningful way, many times we get sidetracked. Jesus moves on. There's another young man, and Jesus says, "Come, follow me." And the young man says, "Yes, Lord, I'll come follow you, but first, let me go and bury my father. He has just died." Now, we know how important it is to attend funerals. If there's someone who is close in your family and they die, but you don't show up at the funeral, you're going to hear about it. Your relatives will ask you, "Where were you? Why weren't you there at the funeral if you were not there?" It's important for us to attend, to be a part of that, to be a part of the family, to be a part of those significant events that happen within our families. But here, Jesus is saying there's a tough decision. What is actually the most ultimate thing that is most important? Is it taking care of the needs of a family, our friends? Or is it actually following Christ? What if the two become in conflict? Hopefully they will not be in conflict of looking after family or being a part of family and also following Christ. But sometimes it may come into conflict. What if your family refuses to go to church? What if your family makes fun of you for going to church? What if they put pressure on you not to go to church, but to come to another function? What do you do? What do you do? There's tough decisions for us as we call ourselves Christians and we follow Christ. But are we willing to follow Christ at all cost? Jesus moves on. And there's another young man that says, Jesus, I will come and follow you. But first, let me go say goodbye to my family. And Jesus' response to that is kind of interesting. He says, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. In other words, Jesus is saying, how long can you drive 60 miles an hour in reverse, looking only through your rearview mirror? You're not going to drive very long that way. You're going to crash. You're going to lose control of your car. If you try to plow your field looking backwards, you're going to have crooked roads. You can't do it. What Jesus is saying is that he's on a mission. He's focused. He's going to the cross and the resurrection. And that's the most important thing. He's not going to get sidetracked. He's not going to crash. He's not going to go crooked. He's going that way, and he's calling us to do that same thing. He's telling us, don't constantly be looking back over your shoulder. Don't be looking back to the past about regrets, those things that you know that you should have done and you didn't do, or those things that you did that you shouldn't have done. Those regrets. Don't let those regrets eat at you or holding blame on somebody else. Of constantly being angry at somebody who did something wrong to you in the past. Rather, what Jesus is saying is have that narrow focus of what truly is the mission. The mission is following Christ. Look for the opportunities to be able to serve Christ in everything that we do. Look for those opportunities. Don't be looking back over your shoulder. Look for ways in which we can follow Christ. Christ calls each and every one of us to come and follow him and to have that narrow focus that God is the most important. Even when other things try to distract us, even when we may try to get sidetracked, or when we have other important things that we think we need to be doing, but they are in conflict with following Christ. Christ calls us to come follow us. And another way of looking at this is to ask the question, would you like a God who is sidetracked? A God who doesn't pay attention to what's going on? A God who says, I don't have time for you right now. A God who says, I've got other things to do. Is that the sort of God that you would like to worship? God calls us to come and worship him in the single-mindedness that Christ had for that cross and resurrection. Christ did go to the cross and resurrection for our salvation. He did it for us. And so he also calls us to come, take up your cross, and follow me. Amen. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you now and forever. Amen.